Many of you, I'm sure, will know this book, Love You Forever. Love You Forever tells the story of a mother who loves her son through all of the crazy stages of life. The boy pulls the books off the shelf. He won't come in for dinner time. He says bad words whenever grandma comes over. And yet through it all, the mother keeps on loving him. She keeps on making sacrifices for him. And again, she sings this song, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Eventually, the mother grows old and the son comes over to visit. She begins to sing, but she is sick at that point and unable to finish the song. And so the son picks her up and rocks her back and forth and sings, I'll love you forever. I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mummy you'll be. And then he goes home that night, and he picks up his own newborn daughter, and he sings to her the same song that his mother sang to him. It's really a beautiful story. The mother's love motivates the son to love her and to love his child with the same love and devotion that his mother showed to him. It's really a lovely story. And it's a perfect picture of how Jesus' love ought to motivate us. Jesus' sacrificial love compels us to live for him. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised for them. The love of Christ compels us to live for him. See, out of his great love for us, Jesus chose to lay down his life for us. We were guilty of sin, in danger of death, but Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. You know, we pulled the books off of God's shelves, as it were. We said bad words about him. But Jesus chose to take our place and to give his life so that we would live. His intention, though, is not that we would go on living for ourselves, ignoring God, taking God and his mercy for granted. He died so that all who receive his grace would then go on to not live for themselves, but for him who died and returned to life for them. Jesus' love, expressed on the cross, compels us to give our life to Jesus and live for him. I've got another kids' book here for you, The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. How many of you know this book, The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein? The Giving Tree is about a tree who loves a boy very, very much, and the tree gives the boy shade to play in. And then as the boy grows older, she gives the boy apples and then wood to build a house for himself. And then eventually she allows the boy to cut her down so that he can make a boat out of her and sail away from all of his troubles. Finally, at the end, the boy, now old and gray, comes back, and all that the tree has left to give is a stump. And the boy says, well, I'm old and weary now, and all I really need is a stump. And so she says, I've got it. And so they sit down, and lovely story. However, it's always struck me as just a little bit off, because the tree gives everything for the boy, literally everything. And never does the boy seem to recognize the magnitude of the gifts that he's been given. You know, she gives him everything, and he just comes back to her again and again, looking for what he can get. He keeps on living for himself. You know, if I were to rewrite this book, I would say that the boy should really be so captured by the love of the tree for him that he would then go on to not give his life to the tree, but live in light of the love that the tree has showed him, rather than just living for himself. And that, I think, is how the love of Christ should work in our lives. Not that we take and take and keep living for ourselves, but that we appreciate and internalize the gift of God's grace to us, and let that then point us away from ourselves and towards the God who loves us so perfectly. The love of Christ compels us to live for him. So that begs the question, who are you living for? Who are you living to please? Are your desires and priorities and plans? Are you back?
We are.
Yeah, we've got some people coming back in here.
Yeah,
here. We're here.
Back. We are too.
Beautiful.
We're back.
Boy, if you didn't want to hear my message, there's other ways.
What's happening? Where's on me?
Oh, technology. We got booted and we're back. But we're back. So that begs the question, who are you living for? For whom are you living? Is it your plans and desires that you're going after, or is it God's, right? Has the unconditional love of God so captured your heart that you can't help but live for him, or are you essentially living for your own will? Do you keep coming back to God for what he can give you, or are you really appreciative of what God has already given and now live in light of him? You know, Jesus has loved you with a love that will never, that you will never fully comprehend. God will always sing over you, I love you forever, I'll like you for always, for all of forever, my child you will be. Let that love compel you to live for him. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that unlike a Zoom call, there is nothing that can get in the way of your love for us. Nothing will ever break the connection. Jesus, we pray that you would help your love to so take root and take hold of our hearts that we would naturally give our lives to you because you have been so good and gracious to us. Lord, I pray that this love would compel us, that we would feel within ourselves a motivation to not live for ourselves, but to live for you who has died for us and who came back to life for us. For all of these blessings, Lord, we give you thanks, and we pray that you would indeed help us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.